Welcome to Brazil Workers Podcast by CSP com Lutas Labor and People's Federation from São Paulo. My name is Samia Teixeira. Every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Brazilian time, we will address labor and people's issues. Today we have a special interview with Professor Wilson Honório and bus driver and ATU leader Eric Slater. Eric Slater is a union representative and ATU 241 executive board elected member. On May 31, he addressed his co-workers to share the official public statement of the ATU international president regarding the right to refuse to drive police. This ATU statement was released in the context of the mass protests over the murder of George Floyd. Our members have the right to refuse the dangerous duty of transporting police to protests and arrested demonstrators away from these communities where many of these drivers live. This is a misuse of public transit, he said. The CTA has retaliated against Eric by taking him out of service and accusing him of illegally advocating for a wildcat strike. A charge which is false and could lead to him being fired. Eric's legal counsel has filed federal charge against the CTA for breaking the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment, rights to freedom of speech. We now have the interview with Eric. Let's listen.
So first of all, good evening or good afternoon for you. Okay, I'm speaking from Brazil. And I'm speaking with Eric Slater, and he's going to talk to us about a little bit what's going on in Chicago and with himself, the campaign, and the mobilization there. So first of all, Eric, thank you for talking to us. So we know that you have been fired from the Chicago Transit Authority, CTA, and they're being persecuted by the city administration because you led discussions about the workers' rights in your workplace. And you read your international union's position that the workers have the right to resist in joining the state repression in the mobilizations that spread all over the country after the brutal killing of George Floyd. So could you tell us a little bit about that, what happened there in this situation?
Well, a lot's going on in the United States. A lot's going on, perhaps similarly to Brazil. First, I want to say thank you to everyone for the national demonstrations that you guys added me to one of your demands, your international demands. I believe it was on July 10th through 12th. I want to thank all the workers of Brazil who did that. But yes, I'd like to talk with workers in Brazil and workers in the United States about our connections. So this is a really great opportunity. I just want to say, I speak for myself here. I don't speak for the Chicago Transit Authority or the Amalgamated Transit Union, although I am a representative of my coworkers as a shop steward. Okay, so what's going on? In the United States, we're having in the middle of a major crisis of over 125, 130,000 people have died with the coronavirus. I believe it's something similar to you guys in Brazil. We are the epicenter of the coronavirus in the world at this time, although I understand India is in a difficult situation as well. So during this crisis, during tens of millions of workers being thrown out of work, I'm facing that right now with my family. Then there was also a caught on camera, yet another murder by the police of a black man or black person in the United States. And under those conditions, there was an upsurge in struggle. And I would argue also an upsurge in consciousness. In Minneapolis, where this particular murder happened, and I'm sure everyone watching this have seen the video of the 10 minutes that the police kneeled on George Floyd's neck to murder him in front of the camera, that transit workers also saw this, and several of us took rank and file action and made it public and said, we are not going to drive these buses with the police. We are not going to drive these buses with protesters of legitimate protest against this state murder. And so what's important wasn't just that. It was also that the union that represented these workers, the Amalgamated TransUnion Local 1005, made a public statement held meetings of workers, rank and file workers, to discuss it and put out a public statement supporting the direct action. And then the International Union, the Amalgamated TransUnion International, representing 200,000 families in Canada and the United States, working families, transit workers all over North America, they took a stand. With the international president put out a public statement saying, just like workers have the right to refuse to drive unsafe buses during the coronavirus, which we've been in the middle of a fight and still in this fight, we also have the right not to drive the police in our neighborhoods, especially the black neighborhoods, which are most disproportionately being attacked. So that's what I did, and that's why I was fired, by just reading verbatim, word by word, the international statement, and asking workers if they felt safe driving the police shuttles. So what are the police shuttles? They are basically converted public transit buses. So the buses, I've been on the buses in Brazil, they're somewhat similar. They're often too crowded, not frequently enough, too much money, but similar to us in the United States. But they were converting these buses, which predominantly transport working people to work and back home, and school kids to school and back home. Instead, they were sending us as a police shuttle to drive police and go to the police station, pick up the police, and then go. And it wasn't just police, it was also the National Guard, which is a military wing of that conscripts or brings in working people into a national military force, putting those heavily armored troops onto the public transit buses and driving to the working class neighborhoods to militarily confront the protests, the largely peaceful protests that were going on in Chicago. And that's mass demonstrations on the 30th of May. And then that's when I was discussing with my coworkers at the workplace as an official union discussion. And that's when management said, no, you can't talk about this. No, we're going to fire you. No, you're leading a wildcat strike. And we're going to call the police. And they did call the police to have me removed. And that was going on throughout the week, where they were breaking workers' rights to even talk to each other. Never mind make a decision about the politics of what was going on. And then they followed through with their threat. They fired me for simply having a discussion with my coworkers as an elected representative of workers' union. And so now we're in an international fight to return me back to work, but also defend workers' rights to freedom of speech, workers' rights to participate in the defense against this racist murder of black people in the United States. So that's what this is about.
I heard you saying, talking somewhere else, that something that really moved the co-workers to participate in this kind of protest is the fact that many of them have families involved in the protests, and many of them had their own kids, their own brothers and sisters being attacked by the police. Could you tell us about something about that?
Yeah, well, it's an everyday occurrence for black workers. It's a deep part of the experience. I was just talking to one of my bus driver coworkers who's a priest, a minister. And he was leading his religious congregation and perhaps 30 others to participate in the mass peaceful demonstrations against police violence, against state violence. So this is a major aspect of life in the United States. And it goes back to the development of the United States as a slaveocracy and also as a capitalist state. It was the bringing of Africans to work as slaves in especially the southern part of the United States. But that form of slaveocracy really, frankly, hasn't completely been overcome at all. You know, we're different forms of, we're wage slaves now, but the racism, the open state violence against blacks in this country is still going on. Even after a black president, even after all of these protests, it's still going on. During the protests, people were being murdered. It was on video several times in Detroit, in other states. It was going on while we were in the streets. It's still happening at this moment.
Before the next question, just let tell you something that has to do a lot with this kind of the need of this talk between us from different countries about the situation. Just three or four days ago, we saw in Brazil a very, very similar scene as George Floyd's. But it was a black woman, and the policeman was stepping on her neck. And then it's all over our social media, people comparing the situation, because like there, we live here under what we call a black genocide. It's something very terrible, and because of that, talking to you and establishing this solidarity is very important. But now tell me, how are the mobilizations, especially in Chicago, and why could you explain better why the police was so eager to use the bus services, the public transportation? What is going on there?
Well, there's several things. One is they apparently don't have transportation themselves, and there's been a history of the Chicago Transit Authority transporting police for different things. You know, to go to a baseball game or a football game, they might send that, and there wasn't really an issue with that. And in fact, we have been doing that for generations. But this was a different thing. This was sending police to demonstrations against police violence itself. There's been a history of this resistance, but bringing in union workers, especially black union workers. My workplace is about 90% black among the frontline transit workers, and so this was an attempt by the city administration to pull the unionized black workers into the repression of the protest against the state violence through police. Against the protest of that. So this was a very important thing for us to resist, and still is. It's very important for our unions to take a stand on this question to make it clear where we are. Which side are we on? Are we on the side of the racist murders by the state, by the capitalist state, or are we on the side of working people? Are we on the side of stopping these murders against especially the black population in the United States? So on the question the murder of a black woman in Brazil, I would very much like to assist in getting that information out to working people in the United States. So hopefully after this phone call, we can trade some information and we can get that out as soon as possible.
All right. Just to add something, we know that something that's happening. Actually, Brazil is becoming the epicenter of the world in relation to coronavirus. The second place, the number we have now, 75,000 deaf people in Brazil, which is a huge number. And we know that we have something similar, mainly in the cities or states with a massive black population. That is the fact that the first ones to die are black people. The proportion of black and white people dying is totally different. And also talking about the Latin people also. Is that happening in your working place? You can see this thing happening with the black workers in your local. It helps people also to feel furious about the police.
I think you asked two questions. I'll ask. I didn't hear the second one, but I'll answer the first one real quick, and then I'll ask you to repeat the second one. The first question about what do I see in my workplace? Yes, as a shop steward of about 600 working families. Again, we're about 85-90% black in my workplace. Some Latinx and a few white. What I've seen is workers come up to me and say, "My aunt just passed," or I, as a black worker, has just spent 5 weeks in intensive care with a ventilator, and or I have a mother who is in 60s or 70s, who has just passed after a long 6 week period, which we couldn't be in the hospital with her. And I've just over and over again, I know of at least seven in my workplace of family members. We have, I believe, five deaths among just our local union of the transit workers ourselves. So it's definitely disproportionately affecting blacks and also Latinx in the United States. And why is that happening? It's not a genetic or biological difference. It's because of the systemic racism. It's because of the mass incarceration, of the failure of the health services, of all of the disadvantages that are forced upon generations of blacks. And that's the reason why it's disproportionately affecting black workers. It's also disproportionately affecting because our jobs are frontline jobs. So the grocery workers, the nurses, the custodial workers, the transit workers, we are on the front lines, and that's disproportionate. The working class, the industrial proletariat, the industrial working class is predominantly or disproportionately Black and Latinx. And that's why this is affecting us disproportionately.
Talking about that, how did the co-workers take this the proposal of boycotting the police, and what is the importance of a labor union like yours supporting the mobilizations? Because you talk, like you said, the most affected workers are the frontline workers, and when a labor union takes the stand besides the mobilizations and within the pandemics, what's the importance of having a labor union acting in the Black Lives Matter movement and so on, acting in favor of it?
Yes. So what we've seen in the history of the resistance, and I should say the recent history after the civil rights movement in the United States, in my lifetime, I should say, I'm only about 40, is what I've seen is that the ruling class has been able to isolate some of the protests and isolate it just as a Black thing, or even a Black youth thing. And especially they've been trying to falsely accuse the resistance to this police murder and police violence and state violence by saying that it's just a youth thing, it's just a Black thing, and other sections of the working class don't need to worry about it. And that's part of the reason why it's continued, part of the reason. This most recent upsurge in resistance to this violence has had a different character, at least in my lifetime. You could argue the civil rights movement and the Black Power movement was able to do this in the 1960s, 1950s, and 60s, but not in my lifetime have I seen such a multicultural, multilingual, multiracial fight back in the streets. But the big guns of working people are our unions. Most of the workers in the United States are not unionized. We have about 1 in 10 are, and many of our unions are troubled. But those workers who do have a union have the capacity to democratically use it as a tool, as an organizational tool to participate in social justice movements like this one. It's not just the Black Power movement or the fight against the murder of Black people. It's also women's liberation, gay rights, all different fights of working people. I'm so enthused at what the work you guys have been doing with CSP Con Lutas. I think it's an example to the world of connecting the working conditions, the bread and butter fights of unions, to our fights in social justice. So it's critically important in two ways. One, so we took industrial action as transit workers when we said we will refuse to drive these buses with police. This is political industrial action. Now, this was done largely by handfuls of workers supported by the public broadly. But so far it has not been organized through our unions in our structure. We haven't had mass meetings from city to city, at least not organized through the official unions, for instance, the Amalgamated Trans Union or the Transportation Workers Union that has a big union in New York City. And the failure to do that has meant that the murders have continued, in my view. Have we taken our foot firmly on the side of this social justice fight and made it clear that the buses and trains of the North America would not move if another Black man or woman was killed, then they would be stopped, right? And all these murderous police would be in jail currently, and it would be stopped, but it hasn't happened. The other thing that hasn't happened and can happen is that the dignified place in society that working people have can be organized by the unions to have organized, disciplined, peaceful mass demonstrations in the city centers and around the country. Now, we did this without the unions, unfortunately. We've in every single state in the United States, all 50 states, there was Black Lives Matter protests and demonstrations. But there was not, there were a few places there were, but not to the degree that can be, and it's the potential to have disciplined union marches in our union colors, in our union signs, as you see all over the world, participating in this and making it clear this is not just young blacks that are leading this, or and certainly not just people destroying property or harming people, but this is the respected leaders of families, the people who do the real work in society. And that's what unions can organize, that social justice fight. So that's why it's so important that unions participate. And that's also why they're so scared. That's why they can't have us even talk about it. That's why they have to stop, they have to call the police for us to even have a union discussion. They're not afraid of workers to discuss this separately, privately. They're afraid of us organizing it through our unions. That's why this case is so important.
Yeah, and the persecution against you is a demonstration of that, how scared they are. And talking about that, what are the next steps for the campaign in defense of your rights and your job?
Okay, well, first I want to say thank you for what's already happened. We've gotten so much support from around the world. Of course, my coworkers that I've been, you know, elected and reelected 3 times, but also individual workers, but also worker organizations from all over the United States, from Mexico, from Canada, Costa Rica, of course, Brazil, thank you so much, Spain, Portugal, United Kingdom. I'm about to get on a phone call with some workers in the United Kingdom, and even as far away as Japan, and national labor federations such as CSP Canlutas, again, thank you, have put this forward, but also international labor federations like Solidarity and Struggle, labor unions for Solidarity and Struggle. And I wanted to say thank you for this. So much has already happened, and I was just fired, I don't know, last week. It's happened so quickly. But a few things that are going on. So one is we're asking our allies to put direct pressure on the governor of Illinois, the mayor of Chicago, the chairman of the Regional Transportation Authority, the chairman of the Chicago Transit Authority, the board, as well as the president of the CTA, to make it clear, return myself, Eric Slater, back to work. Do not allow the employer to take away the workers' rights to choose the representative of their choice, and certainly not to stop, to chill the discussions that workers need to be having about such burning issues as the murder of blacks, but also the coronavirus. It's such a huge issue in public transit right now. By removing the union from the workplace, it stops the main place where working people can help the population. And it ain't going to be the government, it ain't going to be the transit agencies helping people to stop this this coronavirus. It's going to be working people on the front lines who are directly facing it. By disrupting our ability to communicate, they're perhaps killing people, many people, because of that. So on the ground in Chicago, we're still struggling with management and the city administration to defend workers' rights to have a union representative of their choosing on the company property. We just had a police escorted me off property just this past Tuesday. 5 uniformed police did it again. We have filed a formal written grievance as well as a lawsuit in the federal court. We are in the process of filing charges against the CTA with the Illinois Labor Relations Board. So we're doing all these different steps. But in general, the strategy is the same one we did last time. This is unfortunately the second time they fired me illegally, which is to raise the volume of workers' concerns, to use this illegal termination to raise the volume of what's going on, to build the consciousness and confidence of working people, and to make the rulers think twice about ever doing this to anybody else, to make them pay a much bigger political price than they thought they could just force us to file some paperwork and we would shut up about it. No, we are not going to be silent about the mass, the murder of blacks in the United States or in Brazil. We're not going to be silent about their cutting down our ability to even speak to each other and have our unions. So those are some of the things we're doing next.
All right, so first of all, be sure that CSP Canlutas will continue to do as much as possible to help in the campaign. The campaign appeals a lot to us, I have to tell you, not only because the situation itself or because our the majority of our population is black, but also here in Brazil, as it's happening there, they are using the pandemic to cut down rights, to persecute workers, to attack the rights. So we are talking about the same thing all over the world. So your struggle is our struggle, CSPCon, not only CSPCon Lutas as a whole. I'm talking about Quilombo Race and Class, that is a black movement. And we are also doing the campaign. And we thank you a lot for talking to us. We are going to keep in touch. And like you said, you have to exchange our campaigns, our the defense of our people. So solidarity forever and united, we fight for sure, right?
Oh, obrigado, Wilson. Obrigado, everyone. Thank you.
See ya.
Thank you very much, Wilson and Eric. CSPCon Lutas demand that CTA and the Chicago City administrations drop all charges against Eric Slater and reinstate him. This is an historical moment when people across the country and around the world are demonstrating in the streets to bring about justice. I must emphasize that in this episode that last Sunday night, Jacob Blake was killed by two white policemen with 7 shots in the back in Wisconsin. Blacks continue in a funeral march, and racism and police violence continues to destroy families and outrage the black people who demand justice and reparation every single day. We support Eric and we support the black movement in the United States and in the world. We stand with you, Eric. Thank you so much for this interview. And that's all. Next Tuesday at 5 p.m. Brazilian time, we will be back. Solidarity forever.
Solidarity forever.